afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see you on this lovely sunny day, isn't it? And it's not really cold for the time of year either, is it? It's brilliant. Well, we're in the season of remembering, which began with All Saints' Day, when we remembered those who have died and we light a candle in their memory. Then we had Bonfire Night, when historically we remember the failed gunpowder plot to blow up the King and the Houses of Parliament. Though, of course, nowadays we gloss over its origins, don't we? And very few guys are actually burnt, I think, now, are they? Do you remember a penny for the guy? If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. And if you haven't got a halfpenny, well, God bless you. And now we come to Remembrance Day, which will be on Friday at the War Memorial at 11 o'clock. And it's the 11th month, the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th year this time at 11 o'clock. It's brilliant, isn't it? And then on Sunday we have our service in church, which will be a Remembrance Day service as well. So if you can't get to the War Memorial on Friday, do come to church on Sunday at 10 o'clock. It'd be nice to see you. I'm going to read a poem to start with, just a short one, from one of my favourite books. The 11th of November, a special time of year. No roses bloom, nor daffodils, yet red poppies appear. Such frail and dainty little flowers, and yet how proud they stand as they say a silent thank you in every corner of the land. The 11th of November, an emotive time of year, when the courageous little poppies salute those who cast out fear. And we're going to sing our first hymn now, which is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And this was chosen by Kath and Tony, Pam and Beryl, and Marion and Val. So do stand ready to sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
I should have said thank you to George for manning the entrance as you came in and giving you out the leaflets for next week. June and David are both not very well, full of cold and things like that, so they thought they better not come, keep their germs to themselves, which is good, isn't it? Now I'm going to read something called Do Not Stand at My Grave and Weep. And this was adapted, a poem that was adapted by a soldier who was serving in the Falklands War, which is quite a recent war really, isn't it? Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am a thousand winds that blow. I am the diamond glint on snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning hush, I am the uplifting rush of quiet birds' encircled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die. And we're going to sing another old favourite now, The Old Rugged Cross. And this was chosen by Jess, Ellen, Mo and Hazel and Wynne, the A team. And they said it's a lovely hymn. So it's full. Its real title is On a Hill Far Away, but we know it as The Old Rugged Cross. If you'd rather sit down, do stay sitting. Otherwise, stand up.
Rugged cross, the emblem of suffering.
scriptures are rather good, aren't they? I'm going to read you one now called The Soldier. Oh, that's why that one's put up, of course. Thank you. The Wonders of Modern Science. And this is a Rupert Brooke poem, The Soldier. I expect a lot of you will know it. It was written between November and December in 1914. If I should die, think only this of me, that there's some corner of a foreign field that is forever England. There shall be in that rich earth a richer dust concealed, a dust whom England bore, shaped, made aware, gave once her flowers to love, her ways to roam, a body of England's breathing English air, washed by the rivers, blessed by sons of home. And think this heart, all evil shed away, a pulse in the eternal mind, no less gives somewhere back the thoughts by England given, her sights and sounds, dreams her happy as her day, and laughter learnt of friends, and gentleness in hearts at peace under an English heaven. We're going to sing another favourite hymn now, Eternal Father Strong to Save. Because while we think about soldiers and airmen, we've got to think about sailors as well, haven't we? So Eternal Father Strong to Save. And this was chosen by Mo. And it's thinking of remembering those forces who give their lives for us and also for merchant seamen. Eternal Father Strong to Save. So again, if you'd like to stand, do stand. Otherwise, stay sitting.
Rest,
And the next poem is a little bit more up to date. It's written by a currently serving soldier. I think he's probably in Afghanistan at the moment. It's called Sunset Vigil. The news is spread far and wide. Another comrade has sadly died. A sunset vigil upon the sand as a soldier leaves this foreign land. We stand alone, and yet as one, in the fading light of a setting sun, we've all gathered to say goodbye to our fallen comrade who's set to fly. The eulogies read about their life, sometimes with words from pals or wife. We all know when the CO's done what kind of soldier they'd become. The padre then calls us to pray. The bugler has last post to play. The cannon roars and belches flame. We will recall with pride their name. A minute's silence stood in place as tears rolled down the hardest face. Deafening silence fills the air with each of us in personal prayer. Reveille sounds, and the parade is done. The hero remembered, forgotten by none. They leave to start the journey back in a coffin draped in the Union Jack. It's particularly poignant, that, isn't it? Because we see those scenes so often on television, right up to the latter few days of coffins coming back and young men who've given their lives for the country. Now we're going to sing another favourite hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. And Kath said it's a nice hymn for remembrance. So Onward Christian Soldiers. We used to sing this at school a lot, didn't we? I don't know if they still do, but we used to. So we're going to have our Bible reading now, and it's from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that my friends, if you do what I command, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his father's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we're going to sing again, and this is Be Thou My Vision. And this was chosen by, I think it's Bill Dury. And he said, the Lord is my inheritance and shield. So you can tell him we sang it today when you go home, because he's not here. So Be Thou My Vision. Do stand. Thank you very much to Petra. That was a lovely ending to that hymn. Thank you. So, well, I'm sure many of you, of course, have seen war memorials as you've travelled around. And, of course, I expect a lot of you have been to the wonderful Air Forces Memorial up Cooper's Hill. Yes? And when you look at the list of the names of those who died in the two world wars, what hits you is not only the sheer number of servicemen and women who died, but also how young they were. They had their whole lives in front of them when they died for king and country, and it's the same today as well, isn't it? As we said before, we can't help being deeply moved when we see the coffins returning with today's war dead. And our hearts go out to their grieving families and friends. And we remember again the gallantry made by them on our behalf, or at least on our government's behalf. And a lot of us are wearing poppies with pride, aren't we? I was interested in reading the history behind the wearing of the poppy, and I expect you all know most of it already, but I'm going to tell you it again. It was while serving as a brigade surgeon that Major John McCrae wrote a poem in 1915 called In Flanders Fields. Now, as you know, Flanders was the scene of a great battle in which countless soldiers died. And the poem contains the following lines. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. And in 1918, an American university teacher called Moira Michael wrote a poem in reply to that one, We Shall Keep the Faith, in which she promised to wear a poppy in honour of the dead. And she also began selling poppies to friends to raise money for ex-servicemen. And that's how the tradition started. And it was the French YMCA secretary, Madame Guerin, who in 1918 thought up the idea of selling silk poppies to help needy soldiers. And poppies were first sold in England on Armistice Day in 1921 by members of the British Legion. 80% of the poppies sold in this country are made by disabled ex-servicemen, and the remainder are made by their dependents at the poppy factory in Richmond. And next year's poppies begin being produced the day after this year's Remembrance Day. The money raised from their sale means that the British Legion is able to help not only ex-service people, but their families as well. So by wearing a poppy, we're keeping faith not only with those who died, but with their loved ones who survive as well. And of course, we also keep 2 minutes silence, don't we? Both on the 11th day of the 11th month and again on the nearest Sunday. And this was first proposed by a journalist from Melbourne, Edward George Honey. It's a lovely name, isn't it? Edward George Honey. And in a letter published in the London Evening News on May the 8th in 1919. And this came to the attention of King George V, who duly issued a proclamation which said, all locomotion should cease, so that in perfect silence the thoughts of everyone may be concentrated on reverent remembrance of the glorious dead. And if you are in Chertsey on Friday, you will experience this happening at the War Memorial. And it's a very moving time. And I expect a lot of you like me can remember actually just after the war when everything did actually stop on the 11th hour of the 11th, the 11th hour of the 11th day, didn't it, in November. I can remember standing at school and we had to stand up very straight behind our chairs. So it's wonderful when it's actually remembered. It's got, I think it's got a bit more significance, hasn't it, when it's actually on the day itself. Now, there are those who see this act of remembrance as a glorification of war. But most of us see it as honouring the memory of those who laid down their lives in the two world wars and all the subsequent wars and conflicts that have followed. We remember the courage of those who serve and have served their country, for those who obey and have obeyed orders to fight injustice and oppression wherever required. And we recognise that the freedom we enjoy was bought by the courage of ordinary men and women. I read somewhere that we're not born courageous, but that courage is fear that has said its prayers. And I'm sure there's a lot of truth in that. Those who have been on active service take the time to remember fallen comrades. And those like me who don't have first-hand experience can use this time to express our gratitude for the sacrifice made by so many over the years. My granddad served in the First World War and my dad in the Second, and they both survived relatively unscathed, at least physically. And with the passage of time, their nightmares of what they had seen and endured faded. They didn't disappear, of course, but they did fade. So that what they were left with was the memory of companionship, the sense of working together as a team, and the black humour that helped them cope with the grimness of it all. And I know that this service meant a great deal to them, as they felt it was a time of recognition by society of the sacrifices made by so many of their friends and comrades. And as so many service people are still actively engaged in fields of war, it's important to let them and their families know that although we may not agree with the conflicts that they're involved in, we do support them as individuals and we recognise the sacrifices that they are called to make. In John's Gospel, we read Jesus' words, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." Now, this text has been used to encourage those in the armed forces to do their duty and die for their country if necessary. And I do believe that God honours their self-sacrifice and their dedication. But when we read further on in the passage, we see that it's about love and not war. As Christians, we worship Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and our great prayer is for peace in the world and an end to fighting and the futility of war. We know that our Lord's heart breaks, as ours does, in all the scenes of conflict and acts of war. He feels our pain and sorrow. And we also know that evil will not be overcome until the whole world rejects violence and wickedness and embraces peace. We worship Jesus as the Prince of Peace, and our prayer is for peace in the world. Just some words from Martin Luther King to finish with. Let us remember that there is a great benign power in the universe whose name is God, and he is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. And so we give thanks today for the sacrifices made by those who laid down their lives for their country. We honour their names and we treasure their memories. Amen. And we're going to sing a hymn now called Peace, Perfect Peace. And this was chosen by Kath. She said she thought it was appropriate for remembrance, as it's what we all seek. And I think we'll stay sitting for this because it's more like a prayer than a hymn, if you know what I mean. Words are lovely on that one, aren't they? I'm going to read you something now from the Friendship book again. During the First World War, some soldiers took cover in a trench, and between their trench and that of the enemy, a soldier lay wounded. One soldier begged his officer to allow him to run out of the trench and carry back his fallen friend. The officer was not pleased. He had lost many men and he suspected that the wounded man was beyond help. "What good would it do?" the officer asked. "You might throw away your own life." The soldier continued to plead until the officer agreed. And then bravely the soldier sprang from the trench and some minutes later reappeared, dragging his friend with him. The officer examined the man and then turned angrily to his soldier. "I told you it wasn't worth the risk. He's dead." "It was worth it," the soldier replied. "He wasn't quite dead when I reached him, and he said something important." Although the wounded man had been in great pain, he had opened his eyes briefly, looked at his friend, and said, "I knew you'd come." So now let us pray. Lord, who has seen every war, we recognize in your company that all battlefields are tragedies, where everyone loses and no one truly wins. For we destroy our true selves in the process of armed struggle. Today we pray for those places across the world where nations, groups, and individuals refuse to turn swords into plowshares, turning on their brothers and sisters and upon you, turning food and medicine into bombs and bullets. We pray for legitimate armed forces, for guerrilla forces and terrorist organizations, each caught in their own web of human conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for civilian people drawn into suffering, regardless of age, gender, or faith. For places where homes are destroyed, citizens become refugees, and casualties become statistics. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for humanitarian organizations tending sick and injured, restoring relationships, rebuilding communities, crossing political barriers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for each other as we recognize our own conflict situations in communities, churches, and homes, and the internal conflict of conscience and personality. Lord, in your mercy. To all of us you say, "I come that all may have life in its fullness." Peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. And now I invite you to join in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we're going to sing again. This is "There Is a Redeemer." And Sean, Petra, Vera, Edith, Jack, and G. Goshen chose that. So we're having it. They actually chose it for last time when they should have chosen a harvest hymn. But we're having it today instead. So there is a Redeemer. Do stand for this one. Do sit down for the notices, please, and the red one. Thank you. I always forget to collect some for myself. One day I'll remember and then you'll all get a shock, won't you? Our next songs of praise will be the Christmas one. My goodness, doesn't time fly? It will be on Wednesday, 14th of December at 2:30. So when you're choosing your hymns today, they need to be Christmas ones. Not looking at anybody in particular. Okay. You might want an update on Tim and Pauline. They are back in this country. Tim's been up north, as you know, to my part of the world, and he's now back. And their next trip is down to Bath, where they're going to stay for a little while. And then he'll be back with us on December the 1st. And we can't wait for it, can we? We've missed him very much while he's been away. Well, I have missed him very much, and I'm sure you must have done as well. So do come and join us for tea in the hall afterwards. You've all got your notice sheets, I think, so do take them home and read them and inwardly digest them and all that sort of thing. And we're going to sing our final hymn now, which is that wonderful hymn, Abide With Me. So do stand for Abide With Me. You can't sing this one sitting down.
Abide with me.
eternal light shine in your hearts. The eternal goodness deliver you from evil. The eternal God grant you a glimpse of glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forever.